Have you ever been on an airplane and witnessed something unusual out the window? What was that strange light you just saw zip by? Could there be biological creatures floating in the clouds? Today, we test the believability of airline UFO encounters.
Believing the bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. It's Tuesday. It is time for another episode, and let me tell you, it is all aliens
today. Imagine, yeah,
tomorrow, the beginning, the end, the middle, aliens, or at least UFO.
We live in such a big universe. How could there not be alien life forms.
I know. And specifically, this involves airplanes, being in airplanes and seeing UFOs, whether you're in the plane, flying the plane. I do have one story that I include at the end.
It's a hang glider?
No. It's a person at their home, but they see it by the airport. So
okay.
It's the only Reddit encounter I have, and I didn't feel right completing this episode and like closing the laptop without having a Reddit story.
Yeah, so of course.
It was necessary. But it's unique because this isn't like, let's talk about the history of it. Let's talk about what it is. Where does it take place?
Yeah, this is
all encounters.
Just encounters.
So you know I'm in heaven.
Delicious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited. So it's all UFOs, which for those of you that might not know, that's unidentified flying object. It's also called UAP, which is unidentified aerial phenomenon.
I knew that one. I knew it.
I feel like they're trying to be cool with that. Like that's,
I feel like it's like misleading. Like it's like they're like trying to rebrand from UFOs.
I feel like it's like officials and government people that are like, yo, we don't want to say UFO because then they're going to think we're like crazy conspiracy people. They're UAPs.
Yes, exactly. They're rebranding it. They're making their chai lattes just lattes, you know.
I would prefer a latte over a chai latte.
I don't like
chai. So that means UFO. That's what I'm saying. I'm old school.
Yeah, it means UFO.
Yeah. Sources, just to get this out of the way, include New York Post, Forbes, Mysterious Universe, Infinity Explorers. I like that. Anchorage Press, and of course, Reddit.
Man, some of those are almost credible. So
almost. All right, you ready to get in? All right, so we are going to start in the year 1947.
Okay.
These are chronological. It goes from the oldest to the most nowest.
The most nowest, yes, is an interesting way to put that.
Yeah. Maybe even the future. Maybe I'm going to tell you something that's going to happen tomorrow.
Oh, that'd be a TikTok, which would still future be in
the
person.
It would still be in the past by the time this came out, if I
it
told you tomorrow.
It would be, which is interesting.
I wonder if that would be less impressive because they'd be like, well, yeah, that was Friday.
I
like,
don't know.
Well, no, but we recorded on Thursday. I'm not making any predictions. But okay, so let's start 1947. It's July 4th, 1947. So if you want to throw some fireworks in here, if you want to do Happy 4th of July, you're more than welcome to, Charlie.
Happy birthday, America.
Yes. And we're talking about pilot Captain Emil J. Smith and Flight 105 from Boise, Idaho, going towards Seattle, Washington.
Okay. It's a short flight.
It is. Yeah, it is a short flight. And shortly after it took off, Captain Smith and his crew reported seeing two separate formations of what they called wingless discs. They were described as being flat on the bottom and rounded on top, and they were significantly larger than ordinary crafts.
Tower, I'm seeing some, let me have a little more of that fun juice, John. There's some wingless discs on the side there? Yeah.
Did cocaine.
I thought you were talking about coffee.
No.
Is that the fun juice?
It was the fun juice, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually what happened.
Exactly?
Yeah. So it had no wings, no tails, and they were like, there's no way that this thing could conceivably propel itself in the air. So they radioed to ground control, and they told them what they were seeing. And as they did that, the formation of flying objects flew away with a burst of incredible speed. But then the second formation of flying objects stuck around a little bit longer, but then they flew away.
Did it say what it was?
It felt like it's kind of like a line. It didn't say like a V. It didn't really give a description like that.
In my head, I'm seeing a flying V like the Mighty Ducks.
just bunch of geese with little it's like when you're working at night and you have that little headlamp.
Yeah.
It's just geese with headlamps in the 40s.
It's Halloween.
I don't even think construction workers wore them in the 40s. So if we had in like 2047, we'll probably have geese wearing them.
Yeah, I imagine. Like construction vests. Yeah.
They called the stewardess up to the cockpit so that they could have a third valid witness to what they were seeing. And they tried again for ground confirmation, but the flying objects sped off and there weren't any clear results. So Dr. James McDonald had this quote as a statement, preaching it to the House of Representatives Committee on Science and Astronautics on what he believes happened. And here's a quote from him. Quote, Smith emphasized to me that there was no cloud phenomenon to confuse them here, and that they observed these objects long enough to be quite certain that they were no conventional aircraft. They appeared flat on the bottom, rounded on top, he told me. And he added that there seemed to be perceptible roughness of some sort on the top, though he couldn't define that description. Almost immediately after they lost sight of the first five, a second formation of four moved in ahead of their position, again traveling westward, but at a higher altitude than the DC-3's 8,000 feet. These passed quickly out of sight to the west at speeds which they felt were far beyond then known speeds. Smith emphasized that they were never certain of the sizes and the distances, but they had the general impression that these disc-like craft were appreciably larger than ordinary aircraft. Smith emphasized that he had not taken seriously the previous week's news accounts that coined the since-persistent term, quote, flying saucer. But after seeing this total of nine unconventional, high-speed, wingless craft on the evening of 7/4/47, he became much more interested in the matter. Nevertheless, in talking with me, he stressed that he would not speculate on their real nature or origin. I have spoken with United Airlines personnel who have known Smith for years and vouch for his complete reliability, unquote.
That, I think, is such a key factor in all of these sightings, is that they're going to come from pilots and people who are, most people would say, credible.
Yeah, or at least, yeah, like, you don't want to be known as the crazy pilot guy. Even if you're just going from Boise to Seattle, like,
right.
you don't want that. It's the short flights that get freaky, I think. So anything can happen. I flew from Atlanta to Savannah one time, or reverse that. It's like a 20-minute flight, anything could happen.
Anything could happen?
Anything could happen.
Yeah. They all give us spoons and heroin and said, shoot up.
Yes.
And you're like, what? Oh, this is wild.
Yeah. 20 minutes. What's the shortest flight you've ever been on? You ever been on a 20-minute flight?
I don't think so. I've been flying.
They don't serve you. They don't serve you shit. You serve them. Like, it's so short. As soon as you elevate and as soon as the seatbelt thing goes off, it goes right back on. They're like, all right, we're going to be landing in like 5 minutes.
I think the shortest flight I've done was, I think just Cleveland to Chicago.
Oh, that's like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's not that, or an hour. It's not that long.
Yeah.
It's not quite as bad.
That's right.
Yeah, but that's pretty short.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to 1950. In 1950, October, Captain Cecil Hardin and his co-pilot Jack Conroy were flying a California Central airliner. They reported during their flight from Burbank Hollywood Airport to Oakland that they witnessed a, quote, lighted object approaching head-on, unquote.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, yeah. And so this was estimated to be above San Fernando. I don't know if that matters at all, but that's what they said.
San Fernando Valley.
And the object was projected to be about 85 feet long with 6 to 8 bright blinking lights strung across the top, but it was coming at them. So the pilots were freaked out and they literally braced for impact. But this flying object, at the very last second, it shot underneath them and it disappeared. So here's a quote from Jack Conroy. Quote, it was impossible to say exactly how fast it was going or how big and far away it was, but it appeared to be large, quite speedy, and pretty close, perhaps 500 feet away. It was traveling at terrific speed. And the thing that was really odd was that it didn't appear to be using any fuselage. Is that fuel?
No.
Is that? Fuselage. What is that?
That's like the tube part of the plane.
The what?
The tube part.
The tube.
You know,
like, it had no tubes.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like
that. 30 years later, they would say it was not tubular. 20 years later for that.
That's the cabin.
Okay. Didn't appear to have any fuselage. Did I say that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We also felt no propeller wash as the object passed underneath our left wing, unquote.
So they didn't even feel it pass by?
No.
Oh, that's no. wild.
And literally based on the speed and trajectory, they were like, we have to imagine bracing for impact as a pilot in a plane. Like, what does that even mean? Like,
I assume you go,
ugh. But you're dead. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When they landed, they checked aircraft schedules and flights, and they were shocked to see that there was no other aircraft that was intended to be in that area at that time.
So I feel like, so from the aliens' perspective, right?
Yeah.
They're like, hey, Klaxar, let's play chicken. Yeah. And the airplane does not know what's going on.
Yeah.
So they're going on, head on to this airplane.
And at the last second.
And they don't, they're like, these sons of bitches are crazy. And then they just duck.
Yeah, they were like,
pass me more of that fun juice.
I don't know, like they're robot aliens.
The fun juice.
The fun juice.
Yeah.
So, isn't it crazy to think, I know you don't go on a ton of flights, until like 2 years ago, I didn't go on a ton of flights. It's crazy to think while you're on the plane and you're listening to music or podcasts and you're ready to fall asleep or you're watching the video screen from the people in front of you and you're creeping, like your pilot could be saying a prayer and preparing for collision with a UFO. Like those are things that you don't hear about.
You can't think about that because you'll go crazy.
That's probably gonna be a long time before I'm on a plane again.
Yeah.
But I like that's just like how many times I've been on a lot of flights in the last 2 years. How many times have my pilot seen a UFO? I feel like I deserve to know that.
That's an interesting question. And like, have you ever walked out of a flight and like you see the pilot and the Sirius just kind of like standing there and like, oh, bye, bye, bye.
What do they want me to do? Like give them $5?
They're shake their goodbye. Hand. But have you seen just a horrified look in their eyes? Like, you know, they're haunted.
I haven't paid attention.
Actually, to maybe a couple times. Yeah.
I don't make eye contact because it's like when you know you're not going to tip. Like if you go to Starbucks and they give you your coffee.
They don't need your tip.
No, they don't. Do they train people at Starbucks to ask how your day's going? I think they do.
I think they're just kind.
Nope. I think they train them to ask how your day's going.
Maybe they give them some kind of social training.
Maybe. No other fast food coffee chain asks me consistently enough. Okay, wait, hold on. I know what you're going to say. Chick-fil-A.
Yes.
But they're like Christian-y. Starbucks don't care about that.
That's true.
Like, Starbucks always asks me how my day is, and sometimes they get into conversations with me, and it makes me feel uncomfortable.
That happened to me the other day.
No, I'm over it. I'm over it. Sometimes I'll go in and I'll see my pilots washing their, like they'll be
outside of their plane.
No, inside they'll be washing the glass. They just have really big blinds that they put down. That's gotta suck when they're flying into the sun.
Probably have some kind of visor.
Yeah. But let's move on to 1958. We're slowly creeping up here.
58.
Yeah.
That's not quite radical yet.
We may have a familiar character here. I didn't background check. If you want to do it, feel free.
Okay.
Do you remember the officer's name from the UFO chase to the Pennsylvania border?
Neff.
Yeah. Yeah. So in April of 1958, American airline captain Raymond Ryan and officer William Neff.
No, it's a common name.
I've never met a Neff in my life.
Our friend,
never.
Our friend Logan said he had a relation named Neff.
Yeah, that's one. Met a lot of Williams and met a lot of Ryans, not many Neffs.
Where is this from? Where is it taking off from?
Albany, New York.
Okay, I don't know.
Have you heard of Albany?
I don't know where it is.
It's in New York.
Yeah, I'm aware.
They're like, we're flying here.
Beep, beep. They put a horn on that airplane.
Why are they beeping at me?
I have the right of way.
Okay, so it's Neff. And it's Ryan, and they're flying over Albany. As they're flying, they witness a super bright white light that they logically assume was just another airplane.
I thought you were going to say God.
Nope. This isn't Chick-fil-A flights. Air chick. Or is it air filet?
Air filet.
Air filet. Makes it sound French. Yeah. I don't know. Air fillet.
Air fillet. And yeah, their slogan is, looking to the light, it's probably God.
Yeah. No flights on Sundays.
Nope. Can't do it.
And they just think it's another plane with its landing lights on. But as they get closer to the object, they notice that it wasn't a plane. In fact, it wasn't even moving at all. It was hovering completely still. And getting closer, the flying aircraft went through a 90-degree arc, and then it shot directly west at incredible speeds. And here's a quote from Captain Ryan. the initial speed, I would say, was probably 800 to 1,000 miles an hour. How fast can it? It's hard to say, just to compute that speed. Much, much faster than a jet. Couldn't be a jet, not at that altitude, because their fuel is so critical. It changed color after it got to the west of us, probably 8 to 10 miles. It went out momentarily, and we knew there was something up there. And now, here we are with this load of passengers, with something on our course ahead, and what are we going to do? So we watched this light, and it went out, and then this orange object came on, this orange light, unquote. So they radioed to the nearby Griffiths Air Force Base, who didn't have their radar on at the time, which I feel like is a no-no.
They're out having a coffee break.
It's just like, I'm just saying, in like 150 episodes, we never got, you know, accidentally didn't turn our recording on. And then, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Not that there's no parallel there, but it seems like a silly thing to forget. Although I'm not in that career, so maybe a lot of people
do. Maybe just on a station there at the time.
They forgot to plug it in.
Maybe.
It was on batteries.
I don't even know. That's weird. That is weird.
So they couldn't confirm. But they told the airliner just to keep the mysterious object in sight. And as they followed the object, the base was able to get their radar going. Maybe it was like a crane, like a... and they
takes a couple minutes to power up.
They detected it. And now this UFO was being seen by several observers on the ground at both the airport and the Air Force base. So here's another quote from Captain Ryan about what happened next.
Can you explain the 90-degree arc thing?
No.
You can't?
Nope. I don't know what that means. 90. No, it must have been like, if it's
flat,
this.
And then Boba Fett, or Boba Fett, then flat.
Either way. So however they saw it, it went 90 degrees. Yeah. So maybe it was tall, and then it went skinny, or like flat.
Maybe.
Either way. It either went flat to tall, or it went tall to flat. It did this. And then it.
Yeah. It's just like Boba Fett's ship.
Yeah, the slave one. Quote, it stayed just that far ahead of us, and they asked us what our point of next intended landing was. And I told them Syracuse, and they wanted to be identified, our aircraft number, serial number. And they said, okay, well, abandon that next landing temporarily and maintain the course and your altitude. So we did. It was low, and it was also low for a jet. There happened to be an overcast that evening, which eliminated the possibility of a star right off the bat. And the way I understand it, a jet burns up to 3-4 times the amount of fuel at low altitude than it does at high altitude. I don't think a jet could stay down that long without using up a considerable amount of gas. Then they must have slowed down. They, or it, must have slowed down. We trailed out as far as Oswego, which is right on the north shore of Lake Ontario, and we passed up our point of landing at Syracuse, and we weren't sure we should hold the passengers up any longer, and of course, we didn't advise them. We called the base, and they said they were about off, and that was 8 minutes, and we couldn't work them any longer. And we turned over with Syracuse Tower, and they were giving the relaying messages back and forth. And it was about 10 to 12 minutes, and they still weren't off yet. We can't, I just don't know where the jets were. Why didn't they get the jets up? It went off. It was just in the northwest, and it went out of sight. Unquote. So this dude's just confused. And, yeah. And
back to your idea, though, of being a passenger.
Yeah.
They went past their landing spot.
Yeah, they're like, yo.
They don't even know.
It's the 50s, so it's not like they didn't have smartphones.
Yeah, they didn't know they were passing Syracuse. But imagine, like, you're part of a spaceship chase.
That was one of the biggest confusing moments for me when I was reading this, because I'm reading it the same way you're hearing it, and yeah. I'm like, yo, what about the passengers? But I mean,
like, they kind of noticed they're delayed by like a half hour at least.
Pun intended, this shit could not fly in 2022. You have people in first class paying. Well, people in first class. Do you have to pay for Wi-Fi in first class? I don't know.
I don't.
There's at least five people on there with Wi-Fi on, and they're on Google Maps, and they're like, unless it's a completely icy.
No, you don't even have to pay for that, because there's a plane map on your plane.
Depends on the plane, but yeah. Oh, well. Some of them, like JetBlue, I think has that.
Yeah, like you can see where you're going.
Yeah, so back then they're reading newspapers and thumb wars.
Smoking.
And, yeah.
Mostly smoking.
Letting their children smoke.
Everyone's smoking.
My child always has its. I always let my first child have a smoke on the plane.
You go, oh, you want some smoke? And then you just pass it back and forth.
Like, no, I'd rather have that fun juice, Dad.
Yeah, fun juice. Is fun juice alcohol? Fun juice should be alcohol.
I like coffee.
I almost called you a Mormon, but they don't even drink that either.
Let's stay in the 50s one more time in 1959.
Okay.
During the night of February 23rd, 1959, Captain Peter W. Killian and First Officer James D., not James Dean, James D., were flying an American Airlines aircraft from Newark to Detroit.
That is the most Irish name without having an O in it.
James D.?
Or Peter Killian. Killian.
Oh, it's probably O. Killian. He probably just dropped it off.
Got to sound more American.
It is American Airlines, so.
Okay.
It was a clear night. It was a new moon. So the stars were out, they were shining, and everything was pretty dark. Over Williamsport, PA, the two pilots witnessed three bright lights, which were initially mistaken as stars. However, the lights then began to move toward them and pull ahead. So not only were these not stars, but based on the movements, they also knew that these were not normal aircrafts. They contacted two other American airline planes in the area to find out what other crews had spotted and if they had seen these objects as well. Meanwhile, the UFOs occasionally pulled ahead and then dropped back to their original position. Throughout the incident, the objects reportedly changed brightness, flashing, dimming, and brighter, and dimming, and brighter, and alternating in color between yellow-orange to a brilliant blue-white. When they landed in Detroit later that night, they learned that several other airline crews had reported being similarly followed around by these objects, yet the Air Force was quick to write it off as a refueling operation involving planes. American Airlines also dismissed it that it was just another aircraft that they were seeing as well. However, Captain Killian was not down with these theories, and he was quoted as saying, quote, "If the Air Force wants to believe that, it can. But I know what a B-47 looks like, and I know what a KC-97 tanker looks like, and I know what they look like in operation at night, and that's not what I saw." Unquote.
Captain Killian's pretty goddamn confident.
Yeah. I think
you got to respect a little bit.
Well, I think it was, and I'm sure you've been in this position. I've been in this position. It's like when they said in the UFO chase to the Pennsylvania border that they were chasing Venus. Sometime, I think, when you know your shit, when you know your stuff,
yeah,
and somebody tries to manipulate the situation and you know that they're manipulating it and you know that they're BSing you to your face, I think it was like a, not an ego check, but I feel like for him, it was like, no, like, yeah, don't sell, yeah. You can tell the people that, but don't sell me that bullshit.
I know what planes look like.
Yeah.
And this was not
like,
a plane.
Don't insult my intelligence.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think you're totally right.
He was probably on that Irish whiskey a little bit too. He was on the fun juice.
The
adult
coffee.
Fun juice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. The Irish coffee.
Yeah.
With a little bit of, you know.
Yeah, a little bit of.
All right. Let's jump about 20 years ahead. It's not 20 years. It's more like 14. 1973.
Yes. This is going to be groovy.
Yes. So it's February 14th, Valentine's Day, 1973. And airline DC-8 cargo flight was flying from St. Louis to Dallas when this crew saw an object below them that at first they assumed was another aircraft. Have you ever, sorry to interrupt, have you ever seen another plane while being in a plane? Because
no,
I
no,
have.
No. Well,
in the dip, like not, and I don't mean when you're taking off, because that's duh. I just mean like I've been in the air.
Yeah.
And like looking out the window, and I'm never worried. But in the distance, you'll see another plane maybe going in a different direction. I've caught it a couple times.
I haven't flown that much in recent years. So, no, I don't remember that.
If you saw one, you'd remember.
Okay.
But anyway, so they're flying, and they see this object beneath them, and they're like, oh, it's just another plane. Cool. But then it started matching their speed and it started pacing them. And as they observed this mysterious object, they found its, quote, steady amber light, unquote, to be unconventional. And then it suddenly, without warning, quickly rose straight up like an elevator and then made a sharp turn and approached the plane. The crew could now see that it was a silver, metallic, disc-shaped craft with a transparent dome on top. A moment. No, that's the. We'll come back to that. A moment later, the object shot straight up and went over the airline and then briefly out of sight before reappearing, descending straight down, again like an elevator, and taking up a new position just below the leading edge of the left wing. So it's not directly under them, it's to the side.
Yeah.
So the pilot peeked over on the left side of the plane out the window, and they could see into the dome. and they could see, quote, two or three shadow entities moving around. The object then shot ahead out of sight. Yeah.
Wow.
Ground control had confirmed that they were able to track this object for about 50 miles before losing it. That, like, imagine you're flying and you see this crazy object.
Yeah.
And you look down and you can see these shadowy figures in there.
And you're getting straight dunked on by this thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's flying all around
you. It's messing with you.
Yeah.
It's like,
let's go, bitch.
Speaking of Dunkin', do you like Dunkin' Donuts or do you like Starbucks better?
I like Starbucks much better.
Do you?
Yeah.
Starbucks is a coffee. And in the mornings with my coffee, for the last couple of weeks, I've been drinking Magic Mind.
Yes.
And yeah. I know we've been talking about it for you with you guys for a while. We're talking about the 14 days of magic. Talking about higher focus. You were talking about immune boost.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's kind of coming to a close here. And by that, I mean we're finishing what they sent us. But I feel good. I felt good. The biggest thing, I think, for me will be seeing what it's like when I'm not taking it.
To be off of the stuff.
To be off the juice.
Off the Mike's Secret sauce.
Yeah.
Off the fun juice.
Yeah. So, we'll see how that goes. But I will say, like, I felt sharp. I felt focused. The taste does not bother me. I'm used to it now. Like, I anticipate it.
That's my biggest issue.
I drink it with the coffee in the morning, and it gets me ready. It's part of my routine now, which I think is why, you know, the 14 days, it's like they say 21 days get you in a habit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know, you wake up, go down, make the coffee. When it's done, I get water, coffee, and my Magic Mind. And then I start my day. I feel good. I feel focused. Crushing it at the new job.
Yeah.
Let's go.
But yeah, so if you want to also try Magic Mind, if you haven't jumped on it yet, it's not too late. You got 14 days of magic.
Keeps those balloon joints away.
So yeah, go to magicmind.co and then do /14 days of magic and use the promo code Bizarre14 and you'll get 20% off. Check it out. Add it to your morning routine. See how you feel and let us know. Hit us up. Be like, hey, I'm feeling focused. Hey, I'm feeling good. Let us know. And I'm also going to let you know about some creepy stuff that happened in 1981.
81?
We're in the 80s now.
All right, so.
So, it's July 4th, so.
Again.
More fireworks.
Again.
You hear them, yes.
That's creepy.
I don't know.
Maybe that calls
Maybe because there's already things in the sky. There's fireworks, there's smoke, clouds. So maybe they're easier to. There's not going to be noise.
Or maybe they're literally drawn by the noise.
Oh, maybe. So you think it attracts them rather than they choose it because they can hide.
It could be like what's going on down there?
Maybe they just every year they're like, it's like the human zoo thing where they're like checking on us to see like, do they blow themselves up yet? And then every 4th of July they see fireworks. Yeah, and they're like, oh,
it's going
and they
down.
Come in like, oh, no.
You think they'd take notes on that?
No, we don't know how smart they are.
Well.
A year to us, to them, who knows?
Yeah.
So it's July 4th. It's 1981, and Captain Phil Schultz was flying over Lake Michigan from San Francisco. So, let me just say, the name is incredibly familiar, but I checked my Lake Michigan notes, and I don't remember seeing this on here. But I remember the name.
Hmm.
It's not very long. It's going to be over like, it's like popcorn. It's like a firework. It's almost done. So maybe I just cut it because it wasn't very long.
That could be.
But I remember the name, and it's obviously like Michigan, so mm-hmm. You think it would have been, might have made the cut, but it didn't. But anyway, so Captain Schultz described seeing a large, round, silver object with six black portholes descend from high above.
Ooh.
And the speed and the maneuverability of this flying object completely astounded him.
Okay. Yeah, I imagine. Probably be pretty creepy, too.
Yeah.
Do you think you can see fireworks from space?
No, because most of them probably don't go above the clouds. So if it was a clear night, I still don't think so.
I'm gonna Google that.
Maybe. You know,
feels like a Google.
I would like to see, actually. All right, let's move on to 1989.
Oh, that's a big jump. That's like 8 years.
Yes. It's also an excellent Taylor Swift album. Not the best. Yeah.
No, I like that one a lot.
It's very good.
That might be my favorite. I can have my opinion.
I don't know. It's good. It's better than Reputation. It's better than Lover. I like Red and I like Folklore a lot.
I don't like Folklore at all. So
it's because I got feelings and hearts and like poetry.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's November 17th, 1989. And this is JLL 1628, which is a Japanese flight.
Oh, cool. I'm glad you told me that. I had no idea. I thought you were just going to say numbers at me.
No. I was flying just south of Fort Yukon in Fairbanks, Alaska.
I thought you were going to say Alaska. Because Yukon.
No. Nope.
You ever play the Yukon Trail? Sorry for a tangent.
No.
Oh, I love that game. I liked it better than Oregon Trail.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So Captain Tarucci witnessed unidentified lights outside the window on the left. Immediately, he thought they were just military planes and he ignored them. But a few moments later, he realized that these aircrafts were keeping pace with him. He contacted the Anchorage Center twice quickly and asked if there were any other aircrafts intended to be in the area. The Anchorage Center responded and said that there were no military aircrafts there, and they also did not pick up any other aircrafts on their radar other than flight JL-1628.
So what do you say? Like, it's definitely here.
You think I'm making it up?
Yeah.
I don't know. So shortly after this radio signal, Captain Tarucci noticed the lights began moving in a very erratic manner.
He's drunk driving.
It was on the fun juice. Yeah. Here is the official report that was given. Quote, "The distance from the lights was far enough from us, and we felt no immediate danger. I thought perhaps it was a UFO. The lights were still moving strangely. Most unexpectedly, two spaceships appeared directly in front of the plane, shooting off lights. The inside cockpit shined brightly, and I actually felt the warmth of the UFO's thrusters on my face. Then, 3 to 7 seconds later, the fire, like from jet engines, stopped and became small circles of lights as they began to fly in level flight at the same speed as we were. The middle of the body of the ship sparked an occasional stream of light like a charcoal fire. Its shape was a square, flying 500 feet to maybe 1,000 feet in front of us, very slightly higher in altitude than us. Its size was about the same size as the body of a DC-8, which is similar to a Boeing 707. It's impossible for any man-made machine to make a sudden appearance in front of a jumbo jet that is flying 910 kilometers per hour and to move along in a formation paralleling our aircraft. But we didn't feel threatened or in danger. Honestly, we were just simply astounded. I have no idea why they came so close to us. There was a pale, white, flat light in the direction where the ships flew away. The Anchorage Center replied that they saw nothing on their radar. I set out our digital weather radar distance to about 20 miles, radar angle to horizon. There it was on the screen. A large, green, round object had appeared 7 or 8 miles away in the direction of the object. We arrived at the sky above the Ellison Air Force Base in Fairbanks. It was a clear night. We were just above the bright lights, and we checked the pale white light behind us. There was a silhouette of a gigantic spaceship. We had to get away quickly." Unquote. The captain attempted evasive maneuvers, but this huge, just ridiculously large UFO, which he described as the size of 2 aircraft carriers, stayed on their trail. About that time, a United Airlines passenger jet flew into the same air zone and was requested by ATC to get a visual on the situation. The captain reported that when the United plane came by our side, the spaceship disappeared suddenly. The strange encounter ended 150 miles away from Anchorage.
That's weird that it just disappeared.
It just disapparated.
Just went.
I think every encounter has something a little different. Like, one, it's charging at you. One, you can see shadow people inside. One, it shoots at, you know, 90 degrees. And one, you know, they're incredibly fast. I think what I take from this one, other than the fact that, you know, it really trailed them for so far and so long, and the brightness, and they felt it. Like, yeah, imagine the heat.
Felt the heat.
It's like when you go to Disney or Universal, you ever go on the Jaws thing where there's like fire and they're shooting the shark, Jaws, the
shark.
Oh,
I haven't been to Universal in a long time.
Okay. Every time they shot at Jaws and like something exploded, I just felt the flames, or like at a Cavs game.
Yeah, yeah.
When they
do
the intros and you feel like, I wonder if it was like that. But anyway, sorry, that was a tangent. What I take from this one is just the sheer size. Like,
yeah.
Like huge.
2 aircraft carriers.
Like that's, like this is, and it's just chasing you. Like what?
Yeah.
That's creepy. Don't like that. Let's move on to 1997. We're getting closer. I was 5 years old here. And this isn't the Phoenix Lights.
Okay.
Because they.
But something else happened on 97?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. On August 9th, 1997, a Swissair 127 Boeing 747. It's just f***ing numbers. So this Boeing that was piloted by Captain Phil Bobet, or Bobet, but I'm going to call him Bobet, was flying near Kennedy Airport, New York, on its way to Boston, and it was clear weather. At some point on this flight, an object flew fast right over the plane, and it startled the crew, and it caused Bobet to radio into ground control. And here's a quote from him. Quote, "I don't know what it was, but it just flew over just like a couple hundred feet above us. I don't know if it was a rocket or whatever, but it was incredibly fast, opposite direction, and the time was 2107, so 507. It was too fast to be an airplane," unquote.
These stories do sound a little bit like we're describing the vampires from Twilight.
I don't know what that means.
Like, it's entirely too fast. Oh. It looks much too powerful. Anyway.
All right, we are going to fly, pun intended, all the way to February of 2021.
You are so punny this episode.
It's fantastic. So in February of 2021, Flight 2292, an American Airlines, not American Airline.
Yeah.
Traveling from...
What's that say about American Airlines?
The fun juice is what it says.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, they just give you coffee. They don't even ask.
No, they just give
it's you. Like that Learn to Fly music video by Foo Fighters.
The Foo Foo Fighters.
That's what I used to call them when I was like five.
The Foo Foo Doofs.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? With Jack Black and Tenacious D's in the beginning?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And then Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
But he plays multiple people. It's funny. You should go check it out if you haven't seen it. It's on the YouTube. So anyway, this American airline was traveling from Cincinnati, Ohio to Phoenix, Arizona, which... Feels like a flight. It's like 3.5, I would guess. It's 3.5 hours, at least. And the following radio transmission was made.
"Do you have any targets up here? We just had something go right over the top of us. I hate to say it, but it looked like a long cylindrical object that almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing moving really fast right over top of us."
Shortly after, the FAA released a short statement, quote, "A pilot reported seeing an object over New Mexico shortly after noon local time on Sunday, February 1st, 2021. FAA air traffic controllers did not see any object in the area or on their radar scopes," unquote. So while authorities weren't able to explain what this missile-like object was, it's not the first time a pilot obviously has seen something unknown, unusual, so they just kind of shrugged it off and said it is what it is.
It's interesting. It's almost like a cigar-shaped UFO.
Yeah.
Which is...
Do you have an opinion on the cigar-shaped ones?
No, it's different than what we've heard so far.
The pie tins?
They've mostly been like the pie tins and pie then tins. The giant one.
They didn't really describe the size. They did describe the size. They didn't describe the shape.
Yeah, they just said big, as big.
There's only so many descriptors.
Yeah. There's not enough adjectives.
It was large. It was huge. It was humongous.
It was big.
What did it look like? It was a big one. What was that sound? Was that your phone?
I got a message.
Okay.
We got a message.
Let's move on to July 29th, 2021. This is an article from Infinity Explorer, which I kind of like, and I'm going to read the article for you today. Quote, "An airline passenger was taken aback after seeing what appeared to be a shape-shifting UFO flying tens of thousands of meters above the ground. It was filmed by a German tourist aboard the plane who claimed that the UFO accompanied the aircraft for about 7 minutes. In the video, which was recorded with a Nikon P900 camera," I wonder if that's an affiliate or they're like, this story is sponsored by Nikon.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Sony guy. "On June 28th, over Wisconsin, a white illuminated object is seen flying at a higher altitude than the plane. The outline of the object appears to be similar to a drone or a flat shape, but it soon begins to transform and lengthen. The bright white lights of this mysterious ship turn into a Y-shaped figure. While the passenger of the plane tries to focus the zoom on the UFO, it goes back from a vertical to a horizontal shape. The object or creature captured on camera could be a plasma-based life form that inhabits the upper atmosphere. The altitude of the plane is thought to be between 3,000 and 10,000 meters, and this object is recorded for about 7 minutes above that altitude of the plane and appears to move along with the plane. Some people are going to call this a UFO, and technically it is, but others lean more towards it being a biological entity or plasma-based life form that lives in our upper atmosphere. The image quickly went viral among many ufological, oh my God, that is a word.
Ufological.
Ufological community, where many offered their own theories to explain the sighting. Some agreed with the theory that it was a UFO, while others think it's a hyperdimensional, which is an extraterrestrial creature that interacts with our 3D space.
Yeah. I really like that theory.
Really
like the idea that it is this creature.
This creature.
That lives in our atmosphere.
What does that make you think of?
Am I allowed to say it?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, that's your bad.
Nope.
All right, Charlie, I'm going to show you. This is a picture one. It's what do we call it? It's an accompanying, it's a video, viewing material. This is a viewing material. We'll post it on social media so you can see it as well.
Okay, all right.
All right, you ready?
Yes. Okay.
All right, I want to get your thoughts on what you're seeing. What do you think?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, look at it right there. And then right there.
Dude, I'm going to say something.
Right there.
I think it looked a little.
There's a lot of ads.
Yeah,
it wasn't sponsored by Nikon, but holy shit. No,
there are a lot of sponsors.
They got some display ads running here. But
it looks to me. I'm going to say this. You're gonna be like, oh, I don't think so. No, it reminds me of an angel.
Really?
Like a biblical angel.
Somebody was just talking about that on our Instagram today.
Yeah.
And about, like, what were they referring to?
Angels do not look like what they look like in popular culture.
Okay.
There are no different halos. Types. No. Well, no. One type of angel is a ball literally on fire.
Oh.
So I knew what they were talking about.
Oh, so they were referring to G's story.
They were.
I see.
But this also reminds me of a type of angel. I'll show you some pictures if you want.
Yeah, you have to show me some.
Because I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
It is cool, right?
And I wonder if that's been around for a long time for people to write about in old books like the Bible.
I don't know. It's crazy to think that it's like, I'm sure this will be one of the ones we touch on more in the discussion. Cause there's, I don't want to say there's more meat to it, but it's, you know, it's not just like seeing a light while you're near. There's a
right
over near, but I like the debate whether or not, like, one, is it like something naturally occurring that isn't paranormal? Mm-hmm, is it a, you know, biological entity living in the atmosphere, or is it a ship that just doesn't play by our rules and it can morph? It's interesting.
It is.
Okay, let's move to the day after my birthday.
March 8th?
March 7th.
Damn it.
You were close.
Yeah.
So I'm 30 this time in both this encounter and in real life.
This is 2022?
Yep.
Okay.
A pilot was flying an Airbus A320, which nobody gives a f- what that means.
An Airbus?
Yeah. It's
like Airbus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Airbus.
The Greyhound in the It's flying over Colombia, and it looked out the cockpit window and among the clouds claimed to spot a UFO. He quickly grabbed his iPhone, which is ridiculous. Like, my pilot is multitasking, flying my plane for my life and also filming a UFO.
Hell yeah.
They get paid.
Gotta get the do it for the vine.
They get paid the big bucks.
That's
there.
That's true.
And also, if this is Colombia and from Colombia, I'm just saying they probably have really good fun juice on this. Colombia is really good.
Really, I'm not great.
I'm talking about coffee here. I hope you understand.
Oh, you are.
I'm talking about coffee.
Oh, that's not what I
know. So he's got his phone, and first he points the camera at his altimeter, so it shows that they're about 30,000 feet, and then it aims it out the window towards the clouds. He zooms in, which I don't think you can zoom in with one hand. So now I confidently know. That my pilot
is going no handing.
Yeah, he can fly his plane with no steering wheels.
I was just thinking that I could fly my airplane with no handlebars.
Yeah. That's correct. Yeah, but so that means his one hand he's got it on it, and the other hand that's why you got a co-pilot, I guess.
Yeah.
Cars should have co-pilots besides just people training you.
Should be cool.
But then nobody would want to ride shotgun then, because then you're kind of like you're on call. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I can't enjoy my day off. I'm on call. You can't enjoy a ride because you know, what if I have to break? One time, Ethan saved my life, who was on Patreon, one of our good friends. We were driving to Akron and I had my coffee and I put my hand off because I was about to spill it.
Yeah.
And my car started veering towards a semi.
Oh.
The most calm demeanor I've ever seen in my life. And he's holding coffee too. He just goes, sticks his hands out, grabs my wheel. And just like, I'm not a coordinated person. So I would have like jerked it. So we would have, jerked.
Yeah.
But he just was like,
That sounds like very Ethan.
It was. He's very chill.
Also, he saved his own life in that.
He did too. He did too. He zoomed, and that was like, it was like 10 years ago, but he zooms in on this strange geometric shape, metallic object, and it was flying in a straight line in the opposite direction of the plane. And I'm going to show that to you.
Two ships passing the night.
All so right. I just showed Charlie the video. It will be on social media as well. Yeah, what are your thoughts?
First thought was coffee bean.
Because it's from Colombia.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, it does have points. It's pointy.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Be I wonder if an airplane has ever seen a balloon. Like not like a weather balloon. I just mean like, hooray, we're celebrating something. Sure. Balloon.
I bet it has.
What if it hits the jet thing and it just...
The turbine?
Yeah.
And just explodes?
Yeah.
That's a dark thought.
No fun juice can fix that situation. Nope. All right, let's move on to the very final encounter we have. This is the one I mentioned earlier. It's from Reddit. I'll read it word for word. It does not take place with somebody on a plane, but it takes place near an airport.
All right.
And it's unique, and I hope you enjoy it. Quote, I'm being pretty vague with my location intentionally in this post because I don't want my Reddit account to have much personally identifiable info. I'm recounting the actual experience exactly as it happened, though. So I was doing some funtivities. They didn't. It's not me like saying fun activities. Like they put funtivities.
Okay,
I'm a little fun juice. Close by to a major airport in the U.S. city that has a very large military presence. Do with that what you will.
I'm thinking Texas.
Could be. When all the other people I was with started chatting amongst themselves, I looked to the sky, and it was around sunset. I noticed that there was a very strange object that looked to be hovering and turning 180 degrees. About 1,000 feet above the runway of the airport. I immediately thought something was strange because the FAA would not allow something like that, especially in the presence of landing commercial aircraft, which there were plenty of in the 15 minutes or so that this took place. There were no takeoffs from the airport that I noticed. Anyway, we were probably located about a mile or two from the airport, and there this thing just hung out for about like 13 minutes or so. And the last 2 minutes, it rose up through the clouds slowly and disappeared. As for what it looked like, and keep in mind, I was far away enough that it was a small enough that on my iPhone camera, all I really have is a tiny black speck on a zoomed in phone. However, I have really good eyesight and I could make out in much greater detail than what showed up on the live photos. It was jet black and it looked like a seahorse. It sounds stupid, but that's the best way I can describe it. Now, I'm not saying I saw it close enough to make out specific details that would have it looking exactly like a seahorse up close, but I could clearly see the general shape of it was a head, like the area with kind of a snout, a long body with kind of a more puffy chest area, and then the bottom that stuck out in the same direction as the snout, and more boxy than a curly seahorse tail. In fact, it did seem like there were sharp angles on each part I'm describing instead of the soft angles you'd see on an actual seahorse. Now, I have great eyesight, and when I pointed out to my friend, who I know not to have great eyesight, he said it was probably just a paraglider or something like that, but I know what those look like, and there was no separate parachute and cage on this thing. It was a solid black mass. Anyway, just wanted to document it here for anyone that might be interested. Thanks for reading. Unquote.
Was this person's name on Reddit CarrotMasher99?
No, and I don't know what
you're... Because carrots, because good eyesight.
Oh, I see. Vitamin A.
Yeah.
Should have been anonymous A. Anonymous vitamin A. Wasn't that what the person in Pretty Little Liars? A?
I've never seen Pretty Little Liars.
That said, let's move to the discussion. Before we move on to the discussion, we like to stop the episode and thank our newest patrons who've joined our Patreon, which include, as the recording of this episode, Dakota, Carlton, Josh, Angelina, Miss Puskins, Mary Kate, and Kristen. Listen, Charlie, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to tell Angelina what she can expect in the grand scope of our Patreon.
Awesome. I would love to. Well, on the night of this episode dropping, not only do we have our Twitch discussion, which is every Tuesday.
Yes.
But we also have our Google Hangouts, which is going to be tonight.
Yes.
Which is only for our top tier.
Dedicated.
But it's a lot of fun. If you join before then, hope you're there. And also, we have our movie on Friday, where we watch a horror movie together and Well, not necessarily horror, because the one's winning is not necessarily horror, but that's okay. We get on the teleplay and we have make jokes. We talk about fun stuff. We have a great time. Overall, amazing time during the movies. And below that, we have just general content. We have the quizzes, the interviews. Do you believe the bizarre? A game where producer Ben tells us three stories in a round and we have to guess which one he made up. And that's a lot of fun too, because we get into a lot of shenanigans.
Also have theatrical readings. We have the exclusive t-shirt that you can only get by being a member of our dedicated tier. Giveaways that happen on the 15th of every month for our dedicated tier members. So a lot of extra content, a lot of bonus stuff. So if you like the podcast and you want a little bit more, that's where you go. But that said, Charlie, are you ready to go to the discussion and discuss these awesome airline UFO encounters?
Absolutely.
Sound bump. All right, Charlie. So there were a lot. I don't expect us to touch on all of them. I don't expect to remember every unique thing that was discussed today.
No, there's a lot of content in there.
Yeah, but I wanted to, it was like once I started, I couldn't stop.
Right.
It was just, and there were so many different sources. Like it was,
yes.
It's a lot of fun. I like talking about it, but it's like, it just, there's already a sense of feeling vulnerable on a flight. Like, I think when you don't think about it and you're on a flight, it's cool because you're above everything. You can see the clouds from a new angle. Like, you almost really feel like humans weren't meant to fly, but you get to experience it anyway. Mm-hmm, it's like a cheat code. But then it's also like, you're so vulnerable. Like, so many things that could go wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry for anybody listening to this who might be on a plane. This would probably not be the best one to listen to while flying.
No, I would imagine.
Although, it probably, if you have an overnight flight, it might be it might set the tone.
Yeah.
Be a
you're
cool
so
vibe.
You're so vulnerable. You're probably going to die. Look at outside.
Yeah. Just be thankful. If you're not in first class, that's probably where you don't want to be. Because, you know, if a plane crashes. All right, I don't want to put that out there.
No.
But anyway, a lot of creepy stuff happening. It's not just passengers. It's, you know, passengers and pilots.
A lot of pilots.
With credibility.
That's what we said earlier in the episode, that a lot of these are going to come from pilots. And that's someone you generally trust, because they typically have military experience. Trust people in the military typically. I'm just maybe I'm just putting my own views out there, but they're going to get more credit.
All right. I ask you this under every single pretense I can possibly think of. If you were a pilot and you saw a UFO, would you tell your cabin? Would you tell your passengers?
I don't think you're allowed to.
No?
I think it would cause panic.
They got a fire extinguisher, and then they got a gun. And if you see a UFO, your co-pilot has to grab the gun and put it to your head and say, don't you dare tell those motherfuckers in the back what we're looking at right now.
I think that you'd get like fired and stuff.
Get fired and stuff. Terminated from spilling
it's
the beans.
It's a good job, man. But no, would you?
Probably not.
No.
No. Okay. If I was flying a plane solo, it would be a really difficult thing to keep to myself.
Yeah.
But if you have a co-pilot.
Like you pull your phone out.
Oh, my God.
And
Well, yeah. You know what? I bet that pilot might have got fired for spilling the beans, considering not like you didn't get fired for spilling the beans. You got fired for reckless abandonment of the controls and the steering wheel and the handlebars of the aircraft.
I think you just gotta take a nap halfway through those flights.
He put it on autopilot for a few minutes.
Yeah, I think basically takeoff and landing is like the real hard part of the flying.
Yeah.
I don't actually know, but if I had to guess.
Yeah, it's right by the wheel they just put on that.
Like, what are you gonna hit? There's no poles.
What is it? It's not autopilot. What is it called?
Autopilot.
No, what do people do? Cruise control.
Yeah.
He just puts on cruise control.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like 350 miles. Mm-hmm. Fine.
Yeah, nice calm. Ride.
So let me ask you this. Are there any encounters that really stand out to you that you want to talk about more? You're like, no, they all suck.
No, it's not they all suck. There's a lot of them. It's weird because a lot of them have like their own special powers.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are, they all kind of do bleed together a little bit. I'd say the one that stands out maybe the most is the one in Alaska with the giant ship.
Yeah. Okay.
But also there's that one with the see-through.
Oh, yeah, dome the transparent dome where they see the shadow figures.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, I agree. The shadow figure one really freaks me out. The one
shadow figure.
The one where it's coming directly at them.
Oh, the chicken?
Yeah, yeah, that one. That would, because you have to mentally prepare that you might die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some of these other ones are just creepy, weird, strange. But that one is like, okay, for at least probably 4, 5, 6 seconds, that pilot had to come to terms that they might die.
Yeah, yeah. No, they had to like look God in the face.
Not every pilot is as good as Sully or whatever his name was.
Oh yeah, Sully
on the Hudson.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Landed.
He would have dodged that UFO.
I don't know if he would.
He'd been like Will Smith in Independence Day. Just shroom,
shroom, shroom. Oh, I love that. I love that movie.
That's a good
movie.
I did not see the second one.
There's a second one?
Yeah, it came out like 6 or 7 years ago.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. It did not get great reviews.
Yeah.
Okay, what about the, this will be the last thing I think we'll touch on. What do you think about the one where it could have been a biological creature versus it being a ship?
I was just thinking about that one. I love the idea. I love it. I think it's really interesting. And I think it makes you think like this interdimensional creature has been, not this one specifically, but these things have had access to our world for such a long time. And maybe that's what's been kind of manipulating the thought process of religions and such forever. Because there are so many reports.
So do you think it's more like an angel then?
I don't know if it is necessarily. It could be thoughtless for all I know.
just sky jellyfish.
Yeah, I don't know. But the image itself could have been an inspiration for so many religions, like Taoism. I know there's things like that in Taoism and Hinduism and Islam and Christianity.
I don't know what it was. No one knows what it was.
No.
I feel like I can almost buy into the idea of it being a ship that just has different characteristics than it's not made of material that's here from Earth.
But here's the thing, I could as well. I like the idea that it's alive, but I like the idea as well.
For me personally, if I were to buy into the idea of it being alive, which, you know, could be, it's kind of a joke that it's a sky jellyfish, but I don't think it's of Earth if it was alive.
I agree with that. Because I don't think something of Earth could evolve that way.
No. And something living in the upper atmosphere, like, there'd be the sky, I don't know, like, to me, I feel like the ocean is more unexplored than the sky. Like, I feel like more of these things would have been seen. Between radar, between astronomers, between all the flights that are in the air, I feel like there'd be at least, like, 10 in the last 70 years that'd be seen. Unless there's only one of them. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe the world is so big that it would make sense that you wouldn't see them that often. But to me, like, with all the technology, the world feels smaller and smaller.
I understand that point, but the world is giant, so I don't know.
People in the space station like, yo, what's that jellyfish thing? Although, have you seen some of the photos? I think I remember seeing this stuff during like the Skyquakes episode, which is forever ago. Maybe that jellyfish is what's making those Skyquakes. It's going. But have you seen like cloud formations where it looks like cities? Like where it looks like there's cities in the sky?
I have seen that, yeah.
That stuff's crazy. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Nothing really to do with this, but that's just, we haven't really had the opportunity to even mention that until now. So, Charlie,
I was going to say, overarching though, back to, you know, spaceships or UFOs.
UFOs.
Seen on airplanes.
UFOs.
It's hard to not say it's believable for me.
Because
despite the different abilities or descriptions, they don't necessarily all match up.
Yeah.
Though some do. The consistency of them happening is so prevalent.
Yeah.
That it's hard to not go believable for me.
And it's just not like the same person. It's not like just passengers.
Right.
You know, you have pilots, you have military people that are like feeling like their intelligence is being insulted by like, you're going to tell me that's a plane.
Yeah.
It's not a plane. Passengers recording things. Even if some of them are fake, well, you and I already leaned that like, for me, like ghosts and aliens, I have a decent time believing in them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I can't go on a limb and say every single one of these encounters are real. And there are some that I actually had included up until even last night when I was reading through them again. And I was just like, oh no, this is fake. Or I'll read the comment section and somebody's like, this was actually a weather balloon. Here's a picture of what one looks like, compare it. And I looked at it, I'm like, oh yeah, that was a weather balloon. So this was even like vetted. Like I probably took 3 or 4 encounters out that sounded good, sounded entertaining. But then at the end of the day, it's just like, oh, okay, no, this could be explained. Even by the person who saw it was like, oh, at the end, I realized it wasn't. But I don't think that can be the case for all of these.
No, I don't think so either.
So I have no problem going believable. So that was our episode on airline UFO encounters. I'm so happy because you got so lit up when we did this topic. It's a fun one. It's unique. To a lot of, it's kind of like we did another one that was all encounters Was it dogs?
Skinwalkers?
Not, skinwalkers, maybe. I don't know.
Dogmen was a lot of encounters, too.
We've done some where it's just mostly encounters, but I enjoy them. I like going in the background of things. I like the urban legends, like we just did Melon Heads. I like that stuff, but sometimes just like, listen, you already know what a UFO is. You already know what, a UAP is. Let's just get to what some people are seeing. It's fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like the Hamilton Lights. Remember we did the rapid pace for all these people in Montana?
Yeah, boom, boom, boom.
I love it. I love it because they're just short, simple, not all of them, but I love it. I hope you liked it. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope at least a handful of people are listening to this on an airplane. If you're like on an airplane and you have somebody next to you, take a picture of this episode on your phone along with the window of an airplane and we'll share it or something. Just, the idea of somebody listening to this on an airplane is trippy to me.
It's fun.
Yeah, potentially terrifying. Okay, we'll send you a free shirt if you get a picture of your phone with the... So somebody else's phone has to take this picture. So I want a picture of your phone listening to this episode with the window of an airplane and then a UFO outside the airplane. You get at least a free shirt.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, but hey, you know what? Happy hunting.
It could be a phone. It could be a camera.
What?
Like they could have like a camera separate from your phone.
How many people are flying with, like, I guess photographers?
Photographers.
Videographers.
Could be anything.
Yeah.
So people on vacation.
I'm not saying you should make sure you start checking them. Well, don't check those. Put them in your carry-on, your personal bag. But, yeah, so if you enjoyed this episode and you've been enjoying the last few episodes you've been listening to, make sure to go to Apple, leave a 5-star review. Aw, man, that's great. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know if you've been on that fun juice.
Yeah.
And if you're listening on Spotify, it's even easier. Just 5-star rating and keep it moving.
Yeah, we appreciate all those so much because it helps the show. It helps us. Thank you. And also, if you listen to this episode and you want to give us your thoughts and opinions, please feel free to join us on Twitch, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Believe in the Bizarre. You'll find us. We're there.
And finally, if you want to represent the podcast, if you want to have a keepsake, if you want to walk around and let people know what you're listening to without speaking to people because you're a little bit shy, we do have merch. Go to believeinbizarre.com, shop our merch. We got shirts. We got hoodies. We got tank tops. It's not quite seasonal for that. We got posters. There's a bunch of fun stuff. Mugs, stickers. Go check it out. Think you'll like it. But that said, thank you everybody so much for listening to this episode. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
Podcast as bizarre as you are.
All right, let's move on to July 29. That's not what you say.
Jack, okay.
I want to do
the robot. Yeah, no.
Not that one.
This one, yeah. That.
Okay. They're like...
Do the orange one.
This which one? Which one's the one? This one?
This one, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they were like...